Our readings today have been from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 14, starting to read at verse 22, and from the letter to the Romans, chapter 10, verses 5 to 15. Let's pray. Lord, may the words of my mouth and the thoughts of all of our hearts be pleasing to you this day and always. Amen. Last week, we heard how Jesus used the willingness of a little boy to share his picnic, to feed an enormous crowd with baskets and baskets of leftovers. He demonstrated that giving what you have back to God, however meagre it may seem to you, can result in the most amazing miracles. As a church and as individuals, we reflected on whether we could allow God to use us and our resources for the sake of his kingdom. Today, we hear what happened next. We're told that Jesus sent his disciples off in a boat without him, whilst he stayed to dismiss the crowd. I wonder how he achieved that. The largest school I ever taught in was a school of 2,000 pupils, and on the rare occasions when we met together in one place, I can tell you it took a while for everybody to leave the assembly hall. On this occasion, I can't imagine they were keen to go home, having just witnessed such an amazing miracle. There are no details, I suppose, because his disciples were not there to record it. We're left to ponder, but we do know that Jesus went off to pray, to talk to his heavenly Father, and by nightfall he was alone. Jesus models for us once again that whatever we do in the service of the Lord needs to be wrapped up in prayer, planned in prayer, executed in prayer, and blessed in prayer once done. At Pentecost, you might remember, we sought to lay a foundation of prayer to the ministry of this church family by praying together around the clock for 24 hours. In some ways, a huge feat for a small congregation, but in others, only the start. Bishop Michael has called the whole of the diocese to make 2026 a special focus on prayer, an acknowledgement that only when we move as God directs, empowered and envisioned by his Spirit, can we do anything of worth for the kingdom? And we'll only know what God wants and what pleases him if we take time to stop and pray, to listen for his quiet voice in our hearts. Jesus does not skimp on the time he takes in praying. We're told it was not until the fourth watch of the night that he does something else. In Roman times, that was between 3 and 6 a.m. So Jesus has prayed right through the night. If you find yourself unable to sleep, it's a very good thing to do until you drop off again. Prayer helps us to hear God. In prayer, we can give him thanks for all that he has done in our lives, and we can commit to him our resources and our time, our joys and our worries. In the stillness, we can hear from him what the right next move should be. We can lift before him the needs of ourselves and other people. The fourth watch of the night is often a significant time. We have a saying, don't we, that the darkest hour comes just before the dawn, and I think that can be taken figuratively as well as physically. When we are in despair, before we find a glimmer of hope, the world can seem like a very dark place. People have long been rather superstitious about that very dark time of night. But in biblical accounts, that very time, the fourth watch, the hours between 3 and 6 a.m., is often when God chooses to do something remarkable. How like our Heavenly Father to redeem the thing of which we're most afraid, by showing us that in his company there is no need to fear. It was at that time of night that Jacob wrestled with God for his blessing in Genesis 32. In Exodus 14, we read it was precisely then that Yahweh set his people free from slavery as he instructed Moses to lead them across the Red Sea. In the New Testament, it's precisely then that the angels appear to the shepherds to announce the good news of Jesus' birth. It's at that time of the morning that Jesus is discovered to be resurrected from the tomb. It's a time when significant, life-giving, freedom-bringing things happen. As we hear in Paul's letter to the Romans, when we were powerless and lost in our own sin, our own darkness, if you like, God reached out to us through Jesus, his only Son, offering us salvation and a new hope. And all who call on him are saved. Returning to our gospel story, what Jesus chooses to do next causes the disciples some alarm. Where anyone else might have had some breakfast and waited for the first boat of the morning, Jesus decides to walk out to the disciples in the midst of the wild weather and the darkness. Could it be that once again, in the darkest hour, he wants to bring freedom from fear and oppression? As they cry out in fear at this sight, they do not understand. This sight that defies all they know to be reasonable, Jesus has three things to say to them. Take courage. It is I. Don't be afraid. He calls on them to take heart. The situation may seem to them perilous. It may seem out of control and beyond their understanding, yet he tells them to have courage because they're not on their own. It is I, he says, reminding them, even in this darkest hour of the night, when they're struggling against the elements, he, the Lord of sea and sky, is with them, and they need not be full of fear. In the most frequently repeated command of the Bible, he says to them, do not be afraid. It may be that today you identify quite keenly with those disciples in a tiny boat, some distance from the security of land, being buffeted by the wind and the waves, and making little progress in any direction. You may feel that the world seems dark around you. You may feel insecure and threatened by circumstances of life beyond your control. Jesus says to you, take courage. It is I. Do not be afraid. In the darkest hour of the night, Jesus comes to his disciples and offers them not only freedom from their present fear, but an understanding of his lordship that will strengthen them and sustain their ministry in the months ahead. He gives them courage for now and hope for the future. We know that Peter, that gutsy, energetic fisherman, was impetuous, and so it's not much of a surprise that it's he who jumps out of the boat to make his way to Jesus. I wonder what he was thinking when he did that. He was a fisherman, after all. He knew the reality of stormy waters at sea. And yet, with his attention fully on Jesus, he set out to meet him, walking as Jesus did on the water, unharmed by the waves. You might like to close your eyes and imagine the scene. The wind, the waves, the anxiety at their lack of safety. The surprise and confusion at seeing a figure approach through the darkness. I wonder what his friends were thinking as they watched Peter clamber out of the boat. I wonder who you identify with. Could you fix your eyes on Jesus in the midst of the darkest night and follow him whatever he calls you to do? It's only when Peter takes his eyes off of Jesus and focuses on the wind and the waves around him that he starts to sink and calls out to Jesus, who rescues him. Whatever the storms of life that engulf us, focusing on adversity will surely see us sink beneath our troubles. But with our eyes fixed on Jesus, we will not fall. It is very easy to focus on our challenges and the inadequacy of our resources to overcome them. But in the story of the big picnic that we heard last week, and in this tale of walking on water today, we're reminded that what matters is not our resources, but the one who supplies them. The bread and the fishes were tiny in the face of the hunger of so many men, but in Jesus' hands, they became an ample sufficiency. The night was dark and wild, and the sea was rough, but with his eyes fixed on his Lord, Peter kept his head above the waves. Some seasons in life are challenging. Illness, bereavement, redundancy, watching your loved ones wrestle with life's difficult challenges. Like the disciples, we could be forgiven for wondering where God is when you need him sometimes. This scene reminds us that he is, in fact, right there with us in the midst of the darkness, as always, walking towards us and asking us to put our trust in him. He says, "Take heart. It is I. Do not be afraid." These are his words to us all today. I wonder how you will respond. Let's pray. Lord, in these days of mercy, make us quiet and prayerful. In these days of challenge, make us strong in you. In these days of emptiness, take possession of us. In these days of waiting, open our hearts to the mystery of the cross. Help us, O Lord, to trust you, to know that you are with us, and to believe that nothing can separate us from your love, revealed in Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.